Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's Off the Bench. My name is Az, and I am joined today by Oscar, aka FPL Focal. How are you doing, mate?
I'm very well, thank you, Az. Yeah, looking forward to chatting with you in the middle of Double Game Week 22. And of course, we've got Double Game Week 23 ahead of us. Lots to talk about.
Yeah, it's always interesting talking kind of in the middle of a game week, isn't it? Because we can say, oh, we're doing really well or we're doing really badly or whatever, but so much can change. I think I should get a green arrow this week because I've got most of the players. You know, I've got Shaw, I've got Rashford. I haven't got Fernandez, but Rashford triple captain, I should be on for a decent green. How are you getting on?
Yeah, I'm having a good game week, actually. Despite no triple captainship this week. Yeah, I understand there was about 700,000 triple captains used in game week 22. I wasn't one of those. But yeah, if you used it on Rashford or Bruno, well played. Yeah, good game week. Kepa with another haul, 10 points against Fulham. I think that's 10, 9 and 10 in his last three now. Kept hold of Kane as well, who obviously delivered against Man City. Mm. Picked up a couple of bonus points. I know he was a makeway in a lot of teams for Nketiah, you know, to free up that Bruno spot. Yeah, all good there. And of course, the Man United double game week off to a good start from the perspective of a Shaw, Rashford and Bruno owner. 69 points with those three left to play.
Hey, not bad. You mentioned Nketiah, lots of Arsenal players, obviously disappointing for people. Another shock result. I mean, Liverpool again. I mean, is it a shock result? I don't think anyone's expecting three goals for Wolves. Yeah, I think with them and with Everton, you know, beating Arsenal, we've obviously got a lot to talk about. So yeah, both having good game weeks. So we might both be a little bit smug. And let's go straight into Arsenal because there's a lot of investment in their players ahead of the double game week in 23. They've got the double along with Man City as well. I've already made some moves. I've already bought in some Arsenal players. Do we think it's just a one-off? Because it wasn't a great performance. They had some chances, but they were kind of half chances and they weren't very clinical. Everton set up really well. They got the result. Are you worried about Arsenal at all? You're an Arsenal fan as well, right?
I'm an Arsenal fan, yeah. I'm not too worried. I think it was a combination of an off day for Arsenal, but also, of course, Sean Dyche coming in, his first game in charge of Everton. So there was the new manager bounce we suspected might happen. So I think it's just a blip. And in my opinion, you still want to be tripled up on Arsenal for the double game week. Of course, they play twice in game week 23. And I'm sure we'll talk about game week 25 as well, which is, of course, a blank game week for a few teams, but Arsenal, not one of those. So, yeah, the question is which three Arsenal players? My answer seems to change every week. What do you think?
It's an interesting one. There's few teams, isn't there, where you could theoretically pick any of their starting 11 and kind of make a case for them. You know, right in the bat, you know, Ramsdale, you've got Saliba, Zinchenko, White, Gabriel. Any of those four look decent. Okay, you're probably not going to go near, you know, Partey or the central midfielders or Xhaka, but you know, then you look at the front four. You know, Martinelli is still an option, although people are getting a bit shaky on him with Trossard coming in. Saka, Odegaard, Nketiah. I think it's really tricky because I like the three up top. I like the idea of going Saka, Odegaard and Nketiah. But the defensive numbers are really good as well. So I do quite like the idea of bringing a defender in. And I've already moved for one.
So who have you picked up?
Yeah, I've gone for Zinchenko, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not... I can't say it's because he's got the best underlying stats or because of any kind of thing. You know when you just really like a player?
Yeah, no, he's absolute quality. Yeah, I can't dispute that.
Yeah.
And I think the BPS system does fit him quite nicely. He kind of plays like a central midfielder. He pushes up, he tucks inside. He's on the ball a lot, you know, playing a lot of passes. He underlaps Martinelli, so he takes up good areas. So yeah, I don't mind the Zinchenko pick. I'm on Gabriel myself. Mm. I've had him since game week 17, so... I'm happy to stick with him. I think he's one of those that you can say is nailed. Zinchenko probably is, but you never know if Tierney gets a game. And obviously Ben White's a bit of a question mark as well, with Tomiyasu available to come in when needed. And he has done before, even before 60 minutes, which I guess is another talking point from game week 22. The number of substitutions the 60th minute. It was a cursed game week, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I mean, Mahrez was the big one, wasn't it? I mean, it's classic Mahrez. You know, he gets a good run of starts. He's getting good points. People are starting to think, oh, you know, the history of Mahrez in FPL has always been a bit dodgy, especially for myself. I've owned him and been burnt a lot of times, but he's come in and he's looking all right. And then hooked at 59 minutes. It's classic, isn't it?
It's very unfortunate. Feels like the these Premier League managers know about FPL and they're just deliberately doing it now. It's just to mess with us. Martinelli, obviously the other one, he came off, I think, in the 59th minute as well. So he was a minute shy of getting that extra appearance point. And obviously Reece James, right at the start of the game week as well, back from injury. And of course he came off, I think it was at 59 as well. So a big swing, you know, 30 seconds later and Reece James gets you a clean sheet there, plus the extra appearance points. So Yeah, it was one of those game weeks, wasn't it, with the early substitutions? Yeah, Mahrez, a difficult one. Of course, Man City with a double game week 23, so lots to talk about there in terms of which City players are the right three to have.
Well, it's really tricky, isn't it? I mean, I mentioned Arsenal and having all the kind of options, you know, across the squad. I mean, there obviously are options at Man City, but you take Haaland out of the equation, we don't know who's going to start each week. I mean, the lineup against Spurs was completely different to what I was expecting and what a lot of people were expecting. Foden is ill and wasn't really in favour when he was playing anyway. I mean, Grealish, is he maybe an option for us now? De Bruyne has been benched twice now in the last 3 weeks. I don't know. Who do you think? I mean, Rico Lewis has come in at 3-9, which is an interesting option, but I'm struggling to know exactly which three City players I'd pick going forward.
Yeah, it's difficult. And obviously, Lewis's stock's gone up even more. 3.9 mil. Cancelo, of course, on loan to Bayern Munich for the rest of the season. So that's one less player competing. I think he actually played left back and it was Walker who played in right back. So yeah, he's an option. Picking the right three is really, really hard. The problem with Mahrez is he's been absolutely flying, but of course there's this rotation risk. You've got players like Bernardo Silva, Alvarez, people that can come in and play in that position. I think it was actually De Bruyne who came on for Mahrez. So the minutes are a concern, but you can obviously say that of all the players. And yeah, as you say, De Bruyne benched again. So that's twice in the last few games against Spurs. Perhaps that's just what Pep does against a back three. I've seen some discussion about that. Maybe that's how Pep lines up when he's playing against the side of a back three. I suppose the positive is that in double game week 23, Man City play against Aston Villa and Arsenal, who play back four. So perhaps that's promising news, or perhaps that's just, you know, reading tea leaves there. I think the best three are probably Edison, De Bruyne, and Haaland, of course, if I had to pick three. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, Ake's popular, isn't he? He's been bought by a lot of new managers. He's, you know, still a relatively differential pick. Pep's talked him up and said he's really important to the way they play. He can obviously play at left back if Lewis comes in. But I don't know, I look at Laporte and Diaz on the bench, and I think, to me, they're the two best centre-backs at the club, and they're kind of out of favour at the moment. But, you know, if City don't start picking up results and Pep does revert back to changing things around, we might see players like Ake dropping out. And like, I just don't really want that headache, not with the blanks. We're going to talk about the blanks in a bit, but with blank gamings already, I can't be having defenders, you know, not playing. And I've moved Zinchenko, and I'm hoping that he is nailed, given that Tierney hasn't really played too much. Tomiyasu's there as well. But really, you know, if I had a bit of extra money, I would be going for Gabriel, like you've got, for example, just to have that security, because the City backline seems really tricky. And the problem with Edison is if you're going for Edison, you're not going to have Kepa. And Kepa is just an absolute machine at the moment. I don't see how you can go without him.
Agreed, yeah. I've got the Kepa and Edison double up at the moment, which has actually been a frustration, if anything, because I've been rotating the two. But yeah, it's actually played out at the worst possible times. So I finally landed on the right side of Kepa's points last game. But just lastly on Grealish, you mentioned him, and he's an interesting one. I think he's really flying under the radar. Mahrez is kind of that popular budget Man City mid, but I think Grealish does deserve a mention and consideration. Since the restart, Grealish has 3.37 expected goal involvement to Mahrez's 4.17. But in terms of minutes per expected goal involvement, they're actually on par, and Grealish is 0.9 mil cheaper. And obviously with Grealish, it's much less competition. It's mainly Foden competing for that same spot. He didn't even make the squad, as you say, with illness. So, yeah, I think he's worth consideration as well, especially if you're looking to move on some deadwood. You know, a player like Almiron, he's obviously been very disappointing since the restart.
He's a punt, isn't he? Because he hasn't delivered at all, fantasy football-wise, while he's been at City. Obviously, he had the amazing season at Villa when he was in everyone's teams. He was getting points every week, but he just hasn't hit that level of consistency for City. I think that's what puts me off. I find with FPL, it's the consistent returners that are the ones that you want to get. And that sounds stupid, but hoping for a haul from someone who hasn't really delivered, and hoping not only that he gets, you know, a double-digit score, but hoping that then continues over weeks and weeks and weeks to justify the being in your side. I just think he's maybe a punt too far. And I think Mahrez probably is the one that I would lean to if I was going to pick one, just because we have seen that consistency from him. I mean, obviously he got subbed early, so it didn't continue. But Mahrez has been a consistent FPL player, even at City, in spells. So you're just hoping to catch that run of games. Grealish isn't for me. He's one of my favourite players to watch, but I just don't think I'll be going there FPL-wise. I mean, what would you do with De Bruyne, though? I mean, would you sell? I mean, have you got him? I've got him.
No, so what I did is I sold De Bruyne for Bruno this week just to target the double game week. And my plan is actually just to reverse that transfer.
Yeah. Interesting.
Despite the benching, I think I'll bring him straight back in. I think he's likely to start both games in the double game week, touch wood. So that's my plan, just to reverse that transfer. And one thing that is at the back of my head is, although we've got game week 23 next, we've got blank game week 25 in a few weeks. And we do know the four teams that blank then, which is Brentford, Brighton, Man United, and Newcastle. And of course, this affects all of us because we've all got Man United players. We've all got Newcastle players. We'll talk about Matoma, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I think you have him, don't you? And of course, some of us have Brentford players like Tony. Ben Mee, of course, has been killing it. So we have to look at this blank game week, and we need players that we are expecting to start that week. And it's whether you can say that about the likes of Grealish and Mahrez. So I think I will trust De Bruyne, who over the season has been a reliable starter. I think he's been benched just two or three games. So yeah, I'm looking just to reverse that transfer and trust in De Bruyne's nailedness.
It's interesting because I know quite a few managers were making that move. You know, there was a big clamour for Fernandes, and the ways to get him were either selling, you know, a Salah or a De Bruyne, and that move was quite easy for a lot of people because obviously Fernandes is less than De Bruyne is, so it's just an easy move. Or people were selling Kane to take him out. But now I guess the issue is that going back to De Bruyne for the double looked really obvious, but I think there is a decision to be made now whether you want to go back to him. I mean, his points since the restart are so poor, really. I mean, he's had 2, 1, 3, 5, and then a benching, and then 6, and then 1. So his highest score was against Wolves, where he got 6 points. He had 1 assist against United, but then he's blanked in the other, you know, 5 games.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money to be paying for someone who's blanking that often.
It is. You're right. And the other difficulty, of course, is that Bruno's been delivering. So it's difficult to sell Bruno Fernandes for a De Bruyne or a Man City midfielder when he's been delivering. And of course, he has 2 good games before he has that blank in game week 25. I think he has Leeds again next, and I think it's Leicester at home. So 2 nice fixtures where he could easily deliver, and he could easily outscore De Bruyne, even if De Bruyne does get an extra fixture. So yeah, real decisions to make there for us FPL managers. I think regardless, I'll still do it, but there is a temptation to move on someone like Almiron for a Grealish or Mahrez instead. And that allows you to keep Bruno Fernandes. I think those are 2 valid ways to go. And as I said earlier, I think we need to be tripled up on both Man City and Arsenal for game week 23. Not just because it's a double game week. Going back to the point about game week 25, neither of those teams blank that game week. So that's 6 players we can trust to start that week.
The thing as well, you know, obviously when you're making your moves, you ought to be looking past the game week coming up. But in 23, obviously it's a double for City. Very attractive. In 24, they play Forest. Okay, Forest have been good, you know, at home. Forest are at home against City in game week 24. But you'd still expect City to put a few past Forest. You know, they did early in the season. Haaland obviously got that hat-trick against them. But then in 25, they got Bournemouth away. So 2 promoted sides in a row. Okay, both away from home, but a double and then 2 promoted sides. That just screams City investment to me. I think I probably still would make the move like you are, go back to De Bruyne to target that. But Fernandes is giving us a decision.
He really is, yeah. So talk to me about Brighton. You're a lifelong Brighton fan. Am I right thinking you even brought in Matoma? Was it last game week?
Oh, no, come on. I've had him for a few weeks now, Oscar. I was way ahead of the
curve. You're ahead of the
curve. I was ahead of the curve, but I've got to say, I wasn't expecting the level that he's hit. I brought him in against Leicester, so I've only for 2 weeks. But, you know, in that time, we've watched him score against Liverpool in the Cup. He's returned in his last 5 Premier League games, 4 goals and an assist in 5 matches. So 4 goals in his last 5 and an assist as well. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. I picked him up at 4.9 million as well. He's got the blank, which is putting people off, but
I wanted to ask you about that.
He's so good.
Yeah. So is that blank enough to deter us, or do you think he's worth exploring anyway? Or is it a team-dependent one?
It's tricky because, you know, when I bought him in, I wasn't really worried too much about the blank because I knew I had game weeks coming up to, you know, take some players out, you know, ahead of that. But it's now reaching the point in which we really have to start thinking about things. I know a lot of people have got Brentford players. You know, if you've got Tony, if you've got Raya in goal, if you've got 3 United, if you've got Fernandes, Rashford as well, you know, you need to be looking at your 25 to see how many players you can feasibly get out. Because you need to have a team. You know, if you're going into that game week with 9 players, okay, fine. You know, you can get away with that. If you're going into that game week with 6 players, I'm starting to think maybe, you know, we might see some chips being played. Maybe the free hit is going to be used. We might see some wild cards being used as well. So, yeah, it is really tricky with Matoma because the fixtures are good. You know, Palace, and I think it's Fulham after that as well, before the blank. Would I be buying him now? If I had issues elsewhere in the squad, I don't think I would. I think that Bournemouth game was the really kind of attractive one. But I think we need to be keeping our eyes on him because I can't see this dropping, this output from him. Okay, he's not going to get a goal every game. But I think, you know, if you think about 5 million assets, I think he's just by far the standout pick for us, and he's going to be very, very popular.
Yeah, agree with that. Yeah, Andreas has served us so well over the season, 2 goals, 7 assists, but despite that, he's dropped in price from where he started the season. He's 4.4 mil now. And I think that is a consequence of how well Matoma's doing, but not much more. A lot more goal threat. I think it's a team-dependent one. You have to look at your team and you start counting up how many players you might have the blank in game week 25. And in my case, I've got double Newcastle, triple United. Plus, of course, some of us have players that either moved away in January or they're injured. I've still got Doherty in my team. You know, Patterson's injured at the moment. So there's a few question marks. So as much as I'd love to pick up Matoma, for me, he's a swerve. I think it's a team-dependent one. But yeah, I'm really impressed by Bryson. You haven't slowed down since losing Potter. If anything, you've probably got even better.
Yeah.
The other bandwagon I wanted to talk to you about is Tarkowski.
Is that a bandwagon? Are you starting the Tarkowski?
Well, we might be starting one right here now on this podcast. Let's see if we can get that one going or whether it's going to crash and burn next game week. Now, obviously, Everton do play Liverpool next, but he caught my eye. 4.2 mil, right? 15-pointer against Arsenal. He's the one they aim at on those set pieces, on those corners. Amazingly, it was McNeil who got the assist as well. So it was a bit of a throwback, that one, to see McNeil assisting him. Yeah, again, so looking further afield, Liverpool's not a great fixture. But after that, they've got Leeds at home, Aston Villa at home, Nottingham Forest away, Brentford at home. So 3 home games in 4 after Liverpool. And again, that's something we can trust to play in game week 25. Looking much, much further afield, we won't look too far ahead. But in game week 28, of course, there's expected blanks as well because of the FA Cup. And that he's another player that we can trust to start them, albeit against Chelsea. What do you think about Tarkowski? Is that a stretch?
I love doing these pods when a name comes like that. I mean, it's easy to say after a goal and a clean sheet in a match like that to be like, oh, let's get in, you know, one of the highest scoring players. We'll mention Ben Mee a bit later as well, who is similar. But yeah, I mean, for 4.2 million, you can't really go wrong, can you? I mean, people are looking at someone like Tyrone Mings of Villa as well, around the same price. I mean, I mentioned Rico Lewis at 3.9, because it's coming at a time when we're pulling money out of our defence for a lot of these players. You know, Cancelo's gone now, so people who've still got him are going to be looking to, you know, to move down. You know, Trent and Robertson aren't options for us in defence. I mean, you know, maybe looking at the likes of Perisic or someone like that, but they're around 5.5. I think we are seeing, I mean, I went for Botman, for example, Newcastle 4.4, but he's got the blank coming up, so it might be that I look to move to him down to someone like Tarkowski. It was an amazing performance from Everton because obviously the players bought into everything Dyche was trying to implement really quickly. He spoke about, you know, the honesty of the players and the kind of graph of the players and all the things that he wants from them. And the work rate was so high. They covered the most distance they've done in any game this season so far in that game as well. So they were clearly up for it and, you know, really wanted to kind of, you know, prove themselves and show what they were kind of about. And it's encouraging because I look at that team and think this team is set up nicely for the way Dyche wants to play. And how does Dyche like to play? He likes to keep it tight, keep the back four and get clean sheets. And when you've got some of the set piece threat of Tarkowski, you know, why not? 4.2 million, you haven't got to play him every week, but he can do a job for you off the bench and he can come in for some of the good fixtures when you think he's, you know, likely to keep it. So I think the bandwagon is a good one. I don't think he's going to be, you know, in everyone's starting 11 every week, but I think if you're in the market for a cheap defender, I think he's probably one of the best ones you can go for.
There you go. You heard it here first. The Tarkowski bandwagon is underway. Yeah, I agree. He's got the right personnel you know, to do a good job there. I think he'll keep Everton up. And what was it about Ben Mee that you wanted to raise then? You said Ben Mee's caught your eye.
Yeah, well, Brentford in general are catching the eye, haven't they? I mean, I know they haven't got the game in 25, but they have got the game in 28. There's going to be some blanks in that week because of the FA Cup. They play Villa. It's a, you know, guaranteed fixture for them. He's the fourth top scoring defender now in the game.
Wow, fourth?
Yeah. In, you know, he's rivaling the likes of Saliba and these players now because he's got the goal threat. Brentford are keeping plenty of clean sheets. And I still think Brentford are going under the radar a little bit. I mean, you mentioned Gabriel. Well, Mee's got more points than Gabriel, for example. He's on 92 points, one less than Saliba, four more than Gabriel. But other than Raya, I'm not seeing Brentford defenders in many people's sides, and at home they're so strong. Do you think that's something that, you know, we might want to be considering in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, my brother's got Raya in his team actually, and he was with me on the weekend and he was really frustrated because he forgot to double check his goalkeepers on his phone just before the deadline and he started Ward and benched Raya.
Oh no.
Yeah, I know, nightmare. And he's really good with that stuff, you know, he looks at the clean sheet odds and that sort of thing, which is a good way to decide when you've got two goalkeepers and deciding which to start. I think it's rare that we make goalkeeper transfers. It's something that might come into my thinking. I'm kind of aware as well, we're at the point where some experts are speculating where we might get some rescheduled fixtures. And of course, going back to Brighton, you guys have got three postponements. Mm. So those need to be rescheduled somewhere in the coming weeks. And I think the next three potential slot for those is game week 26. So there's lots of potential moves a bit further afield in my thinking. Of course, we've got the double game week immediately ahead of us. We've got the blank in 25. And I'm just keeping myself flexible for what could happen beyond that in 26 and 27. You know, if Brighton get a double, then maybe it's Sanchez rather than Raya. And of course, Mitoma.
I mean, just putting in context, Brentford are seventh in the league at the moment. If they win their game in hand over Spurs, for example, they'll be 3 points behind Spurs in fifth. I mean, it's an absolutely incredible season for them. It's an incredible season for Brighton. You know, we're on 34 points. We've got two games in hand on Spurs. If we win those, we go ahead of Spurs into fifth. And then you've got Fulham in eighth as well with 32 points. So, you know, that's three teams that, you know, okay, Brighton, maybe we thought maybe mid-table, but Brentford and Fulham, we thought maybe could get sucked into a relegation battle at some point. Fulham obviously just come up. Brentford had the injuries at the start of the season. But these are three teams that are just absolutely flying. And again, you know, we've got Mitrovic, we've got Mitoma, we've got a bit of Ivan Toney and a bit of Raya. But you look at De Bruyne, for example, and you look at some of the players from these other sides and you think it just doesn't really justify the money being spent. But yeah, I think, you know, question for you. I mean, when it comes to like money in your FPL team, I still find it hard to not spend all my budget, you know, like I don't like having 3 or 4 million left in my bank, but we're seeing it a bit more this season, aren't we? Because the premium defenders are failing, because a lot of the premiums, I mean, Salah and De Bruyne are not really giving us like great options. Do you feel the same with money, or you just kind of look at it and say, I'll just bring in the best players and not worry, which is how you should play the game, I should add.
Yeah, it's something that used to really come into my thinking. I think I've got this money, I have to spend it.
Yeah.
I think over the years I've come to notice or learn that you don't have to spend all your money just because it's there. Right now, I'm sat with 3 mil on the bank, for example. Obviously, if I go from Fernandes back up to De Bruyne, then that's a good chunk of that used up. But yeah, just because it's there, it doesn't mean you have to spend it. And money in the bank's not a bad thing at all. It can leave you very flexible with potential moves. You know, let's say Brighton do end up with a double game week. Suddenly, you've got money to go Andreas to Mitoma, or that sort of move. So I think money is actually a good thing, if anything. It keeps you flexible. But yeah, money in general in FPL, it's something that can play tricks on you. In terms of player prices as well, you know, we look at someone like Rashford. I think he started this season at 6.5, you know, and if he'd start in the season as well as he has since the restart, you might look at his price and think, oh, can I captain him? He's only, you know, 6.5. I think he's like 7.2 now. Like, can I captain him over someone like Haaland, who's an extra 5 mil? Is that something that comes into your thinking? Does the prices play tricks on you, or are you happy to captain regardless?
Well, I mean, I did captain Mitoma the other week.
I just remembered that, as you were saying. Yeah.
I was on holiday and I was maybe got a bit overexcited by everything Brighton were doing. But you know, it was going well until Haaland scored the hat-trick a day later. I think that's the issue, isn't it? I mean, I think it's fun to experiment with the captaincy a little bit. And, you know, I think we've all got stories, you know, of people who've played a long time when it's gone really well for us or when it's gone really badly and big players score. I mean, typically the premium players are expensive because they play for the better sides who win more games and they're more involved in the action. And, you know, when you're going for a player from maybe a team down the other end of the table, you're rolling the dice on A, a good performance, B, them being involved, C, all these different stuff, especially when there's different players in the side that can get involved in the goals. But take Haaland out of this season, and we'll talk about Kane in a second, but there hasn't really been that level of consistency from a lot of players that we'd expect, De Bruyne, Salah notably. So I would be experimenting more with a captaincy this season if it wasn't for Haaland, basically.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, so let's talk captaincy then. Double game week 23, Arsenal home to Brentford, home to Man City. Man City home to Aston Villa, away to Arsenal. Is there anyone else other than Haaland worth considering for this game week?
It's typical, isn't it, which Haaland puts in arguably his worst performance of the season. It was the first time he hasn't had a shot on goal this season, any games that he's played. We've seen him be a bit peripheral in some matches. I remember the Bournemouth game right at the start of the season, in which he had, you know, very few touches, still managed to get an assist. But you look at his underlying stats, generally speaking, since the restart, and he's top of all players. I look at City and I think that's, you know, I know there's clearly a few issues there in the team, but they've still got the creativity to give him chances. I think the Villa game is a good game for him, being at home. You know, City at home are so strong. And then that Arsenal match, I'm so excited to watch that. How do you feel about going into that as an Arsenal fan? Can you captain Haaland against your own team in that match? How does that feel?
Yeah, again, on the subject of FPL playing tricks on you, one thing I will do is captain someone, even if it's against Arsenal, if I think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Reluctantly, it is. I don't own Saka. He's probably the second best option. Mm. Maybe De Bruyne's worth a mention. But Haaland will be my captain, you know, despite being an Arsenal fan. So hopefully he does well against Aston Villa and blanks against us. It's a massive game. I'm nervous for it, but looking forward to it. And obviously Tottenham did do us a big favour in beating Man City.
They did. Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's between Haaland and Saka, isn't it? They're the two standouts. I think Haaland's clear, just given, you know, what he's done in previous weeks. You know, he's still on course to break all kinds of records, and I don't think we can judge him off the back of one game. So I think if you're looking at that game and changing your mind on him, I think that's probably the wrong call to make. But if you're looking at thinking, okay, well, maybe City haven't been good for a while, maybe Arsenal are going to win that game 2-0, you know, there are problems, and maybe Arsenal are going to bounce back. You know, there's lots of reasons to consider going against Haaland. It's just, I don't think many will take the risk. If I was going to do it, I'd go for Saka. I was impressed with Nketiah, actually, again. You know, the other day, he had some good opportunities. He's so quick, and the way he moves the ball is really good. You can mention what happens with Jesus when he comes back in, but it's still Haaland for me. Triple captain, though, if you still had the chip, would you be putting it on Haaland?
Yeah, I was about to say exactly the same thing. So I mentioned earlier, 700,000 used their triple captain in game week 22. Obviously, a lot of people used theirs back in game week 20, which was when Man City had that double game week. It was just a goal from Haaland that week, so Rashford owners already quids in there. But those who still have theirs, would you say now's the week to use it or wait for later in the season?
It shows how quickly things can turn around, because I was doing Black Box and other things last week and saying it's either Rashford or Haaland this week for me. I used it on Rashford, delighted already with what's happened, and you know, as good as it can go with another game to play. I would be tempted not to use it on Haaland this week now, just given the fact that City are struggling a little bit, and we don't really know what we're going to get out of it. I think the captaincy on Haaland is still going to be a good one, but am I expecting huge hauls from Haaland? It's got to come in that Villa game, I think, because I can't see Haaland getting a massive score against Arsenal. I know you just lost to Everton, but a very, very good defensive side. And I think it's going to be a tight, cagey game. So it's basically whether you think City are going to put three or four past Villa for me in that first match, and I'm not as sure as I was a week ago.
Yeah, it is. It's really close. It's 50-50. And the challenge is, we know there's a double game week coming up next in game week 23. We don't know what will come later in the season. We know that there will be more of these double game weeks. We don't know when they'll come and which teams for. So there is a chance that Man City get another. Perhaps they'll have turned a corner and there'll be a better side then. I'd be tempted to save it as well now. Yeah. If you still have your chip, I think I'd save it.
It's crazy, isn't it? One week can change everything.
Yeah. And the risk, of course, is that if you do save it, then you might run out of good game weeks to use all your chips, because it's probably too early to be talking much about the bench boost and the free hit, but those will be opportunities as well later in the season. So you don't want to get to the tail end of the season and you've got more chips and good opportunities to use it. So it's really close. I would be inclined to save it as well. Although it looks like a good fixture on paper, Aston Villa at home, I'm not sure they'll roll them over. I think Villa are going to be a tough side there. They've done pretty well under Emery. I know they lost 4-2 last game week against Leicester, but I think since Emery's come in, they've won 5, drawn 1, and lost 2, something like that. It's a pretty good record. It might be a game that suits Emery. He's good against these sides that come out of them attack. We saw that before at Villarreal, at Sevilla. So yeah, I'd be tempted to keep it. I'd keep hold of the chip if I had it.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, after saying so many times, well, myself, that it should be used. I can completely see the logic of using it. It's still Haaland. He's still got a double game week. But yeah, I don't think the fixtures are amazing. I think, like you say, if you've maybe used other chips already, maybe you've used the bench boost another week, maybe you've used a free hit, something like that, then you're going to have more opportunities to use, you know, the triple captain. So maybe that could be a consideration for you. If you haven't got it, then maybe you do just want to kind of use it this week, because you're going to be using those chips in some of the other game weeks. I mean, one player that, you know, when we're talking about captaincy and we're talking about triple captaincy, is this kind of consistency that we want from players. We've had that from Haaland. Obviously, I'm not going to try and claim it. He's not a consistent player. He scores every week. He just had one kind of off game. But I mean, Harry Kane has been absolutely ridiculous, hasn't he? I mean, a lot of sold him already. You know, a lot of people moving to buy De Bruyne back. But, you know, the question is, should you be moving to get Kane back? It's Leicester next. He loves a goal against Leicester. 200 Premier League goals for Kane. Now, you know, the record goal scorer for Spurs. He's an incredible player, isn't he? And he's an incredible FPL pick. Scored the goal again against City. How vital is he for our teams, given that we're not really going to be captaining him too much because we've got Haaland, but we've got Salah and De Bruyne as the other premiums who aren't really delivering?
Well, that's the thing, yeah. If Haaland wasn't around this season, we'd all be talking about how essential Kane is.
Yeah.
And I'd say beyond Haaland, he is the next best pick. He's the next best premium. You know, De Bruyne is disappointed, like you said. Salah's not the Salah we've seen in past seasons. So I think he's still nearing essential, and I would be looking for ways to get him back in the coming weeks if I don't own him. The consistency he's shown throughout the season is unbelievable, and I think only Haaland has more points over the season. So, yeah, I'm happy with him, and he's going to be going absolutely nowhere. I'll be keeping hold of him probably for the rest of the season, to be honest with you. The only time he might disappear is if there's a blank game week later or I need to free hit him out, but I think he's an easy hold. And yeah, it deserves a mention. As you said, he's Tottenham's all-time top goal scorer now after that winner against Man City.
Five blanks all season for Kane in 21 matches.
Five blanks.
It's nuts. I mean, the kind of the problem, I mean, it's not, I use the term problem very, very loosely for FPL, because obviously Harry Kane is not a problem, but he's not really regularly hitting the big, big scores. He got 16 points against Palace in game week 19. He got 11 points against Leeds in game week 16. But then you've got to go back to game week 8 for 10 points against Leicester. And then he got 10 points against Forest in game week 4. So you're looking at four double-digit returns. I mean, the consistency there, you know, is you look at his points this season, it's full of 8s and 6s and 5s. But he doesn't seem a player that's getting the big scores. And maybe that's why we're not keen to take the armband off Haaland, right? Because Haaland's ceiling for points of getting hat-tricks is just seems to be higher.
That's it. That's what you want in someone you're captaining. You want them to be explosive. Obviously, Kane is explosive, but Haaland seems to have even more so this season. But one thing that's interesting to point towards is this season, a lot of budget players have been delivering. The players like Mitoma recently, Andreas has been excellent for us. And of course, interestingly, the premium defenders have been very disappointing this season. Of course, Cancelo's gone now. He's on loan to Bayern Munich, as I said at the top of the pod. Trent Alexander-Arnold, Robertson, these guys so reliable in past seasons, but they've been so disappointing this season. And of course, Reece James has been in and out with injury and whatnot. So we found ourselves with this extra money. And I think as a consequence, it's quite easy to find yourself with two or maybe even three premiums. You know, in my case, I've got Haaland, I've got Kane, and I've got Bruno. And I just went De Bruyne down to Bruno, and I've got the money to reverse that transfer. So I think, as I say, for me, Kane's near on essential, and I would be looking for ways to get him back in. He can deliver in any given game, as we've seen this season. We saw as recently as game week 22, scoring against Man City, who over the season, by the way, have been top for expected goals conceded. So they're a really, really strong side still defensively. Perhaps they have dropped off recently, but testament to Kane, he can deliver against absolutely anyone.
I can't really make a case for not having him, I think, because I think, like you say, we've got options in the likes of Mitoma at five, who can actually even just be starters for us. We're not looking at the premium defenders and the fact that other premiums are failing and Kane is just so far the best. So unless you're going with just one premium in Haaland and really spreading that money around, but I'm struggling to see exactly what you could do with that money, because a lot of the 9-10 million midfielders aren't really doing it either, Fernandez aside. So I think Kane has to be a priority for people, because that consistency, that level of consistency is just so rare in the game. Difficult this week because it's the double and you're going to be targeting the double game week players. But after that, I think you want to be moving back to Kane.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you have to prioritise an FPR. This is probably not the week where you can prioritise getting Kane if you don't have him. But yeah, long term, I think he has to be in your team for the majority of what's left of the season.
Yep.
I've cherry-picked a few stats here, Raz.
Do it.
I'm scraping the barrel of some of these, but let me know if any of these are interesting to you or not. The first one was that in Game Week 22, the biggest XG underperformer was actually Calvert-Lewin, 0.91 XG. Havertz third, which is an interesting one, because, of course, Chelsea have made all these signings. What will we see for Chelsea for what's left of the season with these new signings? Nunez was also up there as the biggest XG underperformer, but that's nothing new.
Not surprising.
Yeah, we've come to recognise that. Since the restart, Game Week 17, Nketiah's second among all players for expected goal involvement. Obviously, it's Haaland who's first. Second, what is he, 6.8 thereabouts, Nketiah? So he's a very, very good pick right now on paper for this double game week. Something that we do have to bear in mind is that Gabriel Jesus, I think, will be back in training in the next few weeks. I did see a video of him running on grass, probably getting up to speed and so on. But he looks good for this double game week. And also since game week 17, Mahrez is fourth for expected goal involvement. De Bruyne sixth. So these are players we can also look towards for the double game week coming up next.
Yeah, make good stats there. I mean, Calvert-Lewin, Nunes. Sorry, who was the third one on the list?
Havertz,
yeah. I mean, Calvert-Lewin had a really good spell, didn't he? But since since then, he's had a lot of injuries and we haven't seen that kind of clinical nature for him. Havertz hasn't really delivered consistent goals for Chelsea playing in that striker role. And Nunes, yeah, I mean, I don't know what else we can say about Nunes. He's going to be top of that list, I think, in most weeks. Really struggling to convert the chances. There are three players that I would avoid, I think, for that reason.
Yeah.
I know they're cherry-picked for this week, but they're just too frustrating for me because they just missed so many chances. But on the flip side of that, I mean, Nketiah, I really, really like. And he is a problem for me because I love looking at stats. I love looking at, and the reason I look at stats is to find gems like that Nketiah stat. But that Jesus thing just worries me a little bit too much. And I like the fact that there's Saka and Odegaard in midfield who are guaranteed starters. Saka's on penalties. Odegaard's just at the heartbeat of everything that's going on. And like I said, Aaron, I think that's when your choice is, do you go for three attackers and really target this double, or do you use that third spot for a defender? And I think I'd just lean for the defender over Nketiah.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I also wanted to talk about the best three Arsenal players. We touched on it at the start of the podcast, and it worries me a bit as well, the imminent Jesus return. We should be okay for game week 23, probably be okay for even blank game week 25. But yeah, every week it seems to change which three Arsenal players. If you'd asked me a month ago, I would have said Martinelli, and then Arsenal pick up Trossard, and suddenly he's a no-go. And I know a lot of people are looking to sell Martinelli, which I think is actually understandable this week if you're moving on to another Arsenal player. So if you've got the money to go Martinelli to Odegaard or to Saka, I think that's a logical move. I don't think it's the last we see of the early subs.
Would you be selling Martinelli then? Because he's a problem for people, isn't he?
Yeah, if I had him, I would, yeah. Arsenal, they've been lining up slightly differently with Nketiah leading the line. With Jesus, he used to interchange with Martinelli. Martinelli would rotate through the middle and Jesus would go down the left. But with Nketiah, he stays central, so Martinelli gets quite isolated and he doesn't have the overlapping runs that someone like Tierney does. We're seeing Zinchenko and Xhaka underlapping him through the middle and the inside. So it's a difficult job for Martinelli. He does get isolated. It's a tiring job. And I think we'll see lots of these early substitutions for Trossard.
Yep.
So yeah, he would be a sell for me. It's a bit of a luxury transfer. You know, if you've got other fires to put out, then I would leave it. There's every chance he still delivers in this double game week, but it is a move worth considering, I would say. And in terms of the best three, I think you're right, Saka and Odegaard for the reasons you pointed out. The third, I would actually be tempted to get a defender now, maybe Gabriel. If I can cherry pick one more stat, over the season, Gabriel is top among all defenders for expected goals. So I think Gabriel is one worth considering as well. I think Saliba's actually matched his attacking output or thereabouts, but I think Gabriel's the one.
If I had the money, I would go for one of Gabriel or Saliba. I didn't, so I could only have afforded Zinchenko or White. And this is what I said earlier. I think I'd like Ben White as a player. I think he's had a brilliant season. But I think what Zinchenko brings to the team just makes him that little bit more nailed in a way. The only issue with Zinchenko is the injuries, of course, because he's suffered from them this season. But I do wonder if we might start seeing a bit more rotation for White, you know, between now and the end of the season. Maybe I'm completely wrong. I still think if you've got him, he's an easy hold. But yeah, I think Zinchenko kind of is nicely placed in the middle of the prices between them. So I paid that little bit extra for him. But Gabriel's the one for me if I was going to be buying for sure. Let's think about the next game week then. So we talked about the Arsenal players. I mean, have you made any moves already, or are you waiting until very sensibly until the game week's finished?
Yeah, I've not yet. I think, as you say, it's sensible to wait as long as you can. You don't want to be making mid-game week transfers, even if you do miss out on a price change. You know, as I say, somehow I'm still an Almiron owner.
Right.
And another interesting stat for you. Since the restart, he's 50th among all players for expected goal involvement. 50th.
Yeah.
So it's such a huge drop-off from what we saw for him before the break. As I said, it's all about prioritising transfers, and he probably survives another week, in honesty. My transfer, personally, will be Bruno back to De Bruyne, barring any injuries or other problems before the deadline. What about yourself?
What can go wrong with Bruno back to De Bruyne? It looks such a sensible move, like last week, and now it's all a bit like... I've done the complete opposite of you. I've made my moves early. I actually made my moves on Friday night. which I would not advise anyone to do on this pod or in any capacity.
Why have you done that?
Well, I had the exact funds.
Okay.
And the players that I wanted, I suspect, were going up in price that night. So I bought in Zinchenko and Saka.
Okay.
And if either of them had gone up in price, I wouldn't have been able to afford bringing them. So I was thinking maybe I could wait and go for White over Zinchenko. But because I wanted Zinchenko, I thought I'd just take the risk. I mean, it's team dependent because I've got my bench is fairly decent this week anyway. So I thought if it all goes wrong, at least I can bring in one of the bench players. And luckily, it looks like I've survived the games from the weekend. No major injuries, and you know I've just got to get through kind of Wednesday's Man United match. So yeah, Zinchenko and Saka in, that gives me the triple up with Arsenal that I mentioned. Zinchenko, Saka, and Odegaard, and then I've got two Man City in De Bruyne and Haaland. And I don't think I'll be moving for a third one. So yeah. I'll be going into double with five.
It should be okay because it's just that one fixture midweek. It's not like we've got Champions League or anything. The only other game that's on midweek is Sunderland versus Fulham in the FA Cup. Mm. But that doesn't really affect many of us unless you needed to start Andreas or maybe Mitrovic next week. But yeah, the chances of being affected by that are very low. So yeah, you should be okay there.
Yeah, but again, I wouldn't advise making transfers that early. Always wait. If you can wait, always wait for as much information as possible. But I do think, you know, if you have to make a move like that, then you just weigh up the risk, don't you? And in my case, I felt like the risk was worth it. So here we are. But yeah, it was a nervy weekend, hoping for no injuries from my team.
And lastly, I've seen some discussion about using the wild card this week. People are looking at the double game week 23. They're looking at the blank in 25. Is there any logic to that, or would you suggest holding on to the wild card until later in the season?
I always find it very difficult to advise with the wild card because it's a really kind of get out of jail free answer, but it is so team dependent. If you've got Doherty and Cancelo and you've got, you know, triple Newcastle and triple United and you're looking at 25 and think I'm going to get two players out and all this, then, you know, it might be that you need to use it. I don't think you can say, you know, I need to use the wildcard when everyone else is going to use it. It is very much to fix issues with your team if you need them or to target fixture swings and double game weeks. If you can keep it, I'd keep it. I think we're going to have good opportunities to use it going forward. There's going to be a lot more double game weeks to come. We've got more postponements coming. Brighton have got loads of fixtures. You might want to, you know, bring in some Brighton players later on. That feels good to say. But I do think if you're looking at your team and think, and you're getting red arrows, your team's not well set up for the next game where you've got injuries and suspensions, all this stuff, then I think it's sensible to use it if you've got it.
Good answer. FPL managers still have the potential for more points in Game Week 22 when United and Leeds play again. But even before that fixture, we can start making plans for Double Game Week 23 when City and Arsenal play twice. Kelly, Sam and Jules will be back with the FPL pod on Thursday, where they'll look at the Double Game Week 23 in more detail and consider the best picks. Thanks for listening. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.